Welcome to worship online at Altador Church for this Sunday, March the 20th. My time seems to be passing by, and it is spring tomorrow. Yay! Winter is ending, and hopefully the weather is getting better. We are really glad that you are with us today, and we pray that together we may all worship God in spirit and in truth, wherever you may be. And in the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Musqueam, Nakota Nations, the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. And we also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. And our call to worship today, O Christ, Savior, like the seed fallen to the ground, you suffered death. United to you, our lives will bear much fruit. We worship you, Lord. O Christ, you went down to the lowest point of the human condition to remain close to all who are abandoned. We worship you, Lord. In your love, you took upon yourself our sins. Innocent, you accepted death to free us from death. We worship you, Lord. By your love, you conquered all evil and hatred, and you live forever at the Father's side. We worship you, Lord. You listen to us in your goodness, and you visit us in your misfortune. Fill our hearts to overflowing by revealing to us the light of your faith. We worship you, Lord, forever. Be with us in worship today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 51. I'm reading from the NIV version. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in the burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Easter offering this year, as has been our practice over the last couple of years, is to help to support the Growing Hope project in High River, supplying helping to supply the seed and fertilizer to the farmers there who are donating their land and their time to grow crops, and then the Canadian Food Grains Bank uses the money from the sale of those crops to help with sustainable food across the world. And this is particularly pertinent right now as the Canadian Food Grains Bank, along with Canadian Baptist Ministries, are working on concrete ways to help the people of Ukraine who are struggling with food security. And so it is something that we can contribute to help those farmers, and the government matches the funds raised from the sale of the crops by the Canadian Food Grains Bank and Canadian Baptist Ministries as they help with food security around the world. Here's a little video for you to watch in that regard. Let us pray together, shall we? Lord of Lent, come to your church and ask us your hard questions. Are we faithfully proclaiming your gospel? Are we demonstrating our life together, the justice of your kingdom? Have we welcomed the weak and given prominence to the poor? Come to your church to spring clean our ways of life, our structures, our priorities. Point out to us the cobwebs, the dirt, the extravagance, and the waste. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Lord of Lent, come to the nations and challenge our idolatries. Spring clean the sordid cupboard of this world's false gods. Sweep out the false pride, the self-seeking, the deceit, corruption, and lies. May the kingdoms of this earth seek justice, peace, and the integrity of creation. May we look beyond immediate advantage to seek the common good and to be drawn to it as a lark to the dawn. Especially we ask for your cleansing hand in the war in Eastern Europe, in the unrest in parts of South Africa and Asia. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Lord of Lent, look with compassion on those whose minds are full of anxiety and bewilderment. We remember people who are lonely, imprisoned, despairing, and humiliated. Clear away from them all unnecessary feelings of fear, guilt, and self-hatred. Assure them that when you bring spring clean our hearts and minds, you know what you're doing, for you have been there, one of us, and you are to be trusted. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. For ourselves, Lord, we pray that your spring cleaning would be thorough and true this Lent. Show us clearly these effortless sins we no longer even notice, and help us to address the sins which sit on our shoulders every day, our constant companions. Give us both discipline in dealing with some faults and gentleness in dealing with others, and help us to know the difference. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Lord of Lent, renew our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our second scripture comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting at the second half of the 16th verse through to verse 27, and I am reading from the Message. They took Jesus away, carrying his cross. Jesus went out to the place called Skull Hill, in the name in Hebrew is Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote a sign and had it placed on the cross. It read, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was right next to the city. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And the Jewish high priest objected. "Don't write," they said to Pilate, "the King of the Jews. Make it, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." And when they crucified him, the Roman soldiers took his clothes and divided them up four ways, to each soldier a fourth. But his robe was seamless, a single piece of weaving. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it up. Let us throw dice to see who gets it." This confirmed the scriptures had said, "They divided up my clothes among them and threw dice for my coat." And the soldiers validated the scriptures. And while the soldiers were looking after themselves, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near her. And he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is the third Sunday of Lent, and we continue our series on cross words. First we have forgiveness, then salvation, and today's word is affection. It could also be the word concern. Have you ever wondered what Jesus saw from the cross? What did he see? We gave this a bit of thought a few years ago when we talked about Jesus on the cross and the senses. And I would still like to know what he saw. And what was he thinking as he looked out? One of the things he definitely saw is what we just read, and it's part of our thinking today. He saw his mother and his aunt and her friends and his dear loved ones, and he saw his best friend. Jesus, John 19 says, saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her. And he said to his mother, "Here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Mary had the greatest of all privileges and also the greatest of all sorrows. To be the mother of the Messiah, but then to watch him abused horribly and die the worst kind of death possible, all to be her savior and savior of the world. A proud mother's heart, and probably the most broken mother's heart. Nobody should ever have to bury their child. It's incredibly painful, but it happens. And Jesus understood her great pain. And I'm sure it broke his heart too. The compassion, the concern, the affection that he felt. Jesus loves us all, but he also had a different kind of special love for his mother, I'm sure. And that's got to be natural. But in this story, we see that God knows our pain. He understands it, and he is there in it with us. When we are in pain, we have to let him walk with us through it all. We need to let the arms of Jesus hold us tight as we cry and sob and weep. And we have to let the comfort of the Holy Spirit sink deep, deep within us to the places that are broken. But we must also allow ourselves to feel the pain and not cut ourselves off from it, because if we do that, it doesn't heal. And that same holds true in life. The things that break the heart of God. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, used to pray, "Oh God, let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." It's a very dangerous prayer to pray, isn't it? But it's an important one. Jesus on the cross definitely had his heart break. and the pain of his affection and his love for his mother, for his best friend, for his disciples, for all of us, broke his heart. And it broke emotionally long before it really did break physically. Now, Jesus was a Jew. He was a devout Jewish man. We've talked about that. He was well trained as a child in the synagogue. And he was a rabbi. If you haven't read Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus, I encourage you to do so. It's quite a life-changing book for many of us. Because so much we who are not Jewish do not understand about all of this. We don't celebrate the feasts of Purim and Yom Kippur and Seder and Passover, etc., like we should, maybe. And we don't understand the way the culture was ingrained into Jesus and his disciples. Jesus is the oldest child, and as the oldest male in a Jewish home, he would have had many, many responsibilities, especially after his earthly father Joseph died. And he took his duties very seriously, and caring for his mother was one of those. And so he did this while he hung on the cross. Now, have you ever wondered why didn't he give Mary to one of his brothers? I sure have. I mean, definitely there would be a number of possible reasons, but it does make you think, doesn't it? Jesus was without sin, which indicates that he obeyed all the scriptures, especially the commandments, and all of them. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5:16, and reiterated in Ephesians 6, says, "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord is giving you." We know that verse. And we also know it's the first commandment with a promise, isn't it? And we see here that this is what he is doing as he's hanging on the cross. He is obeying the commandment to honor his father and mother. I've also wondered what Jesus saw as he looked down on John, arguably his best friend, definitely one of his three best friends. But John, like all the disciples, had abandoned him somewhere in the night leading up to the crucifixion. Matthew 26:56 tells us that all the disciples fled. And I'm sure Jesus felt abandoned and was disappointed and frustrated at all of them. He told them many times what was going to happen, and they still abandoned him. It would have been, from a human standpoint, really hard. And it seems, though, that one by one, most of them came back to the foot of the cross, where Jesus hung. John, for sure, was obviously back there now. What did Jesus feel and think as he hung on the cross and saw his disciples, his best friend, there? He obviously forgave them all, and he handed John the responsibility for caring for his mother for the rest of their lives. Mary would probably have been about 48 or so at the time, so she probably lived quite a long time. And John took it seriously. And if you visit Selçuk in Turkey, which is near Ephesus, you can see the ruins of what they believe to be the house of John, and a few yards away, the house of Mary. So there is proof that John took this task of caring for his best friend and Savior's mother seriously to the end of her life. Here's a good example for all of us as to how to honor our mothers and our spiritual mothers. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a rabbit trail here because this frustrates me just a little bit. My non-Jewishness actually really shows up here. Jesus was making arrangements for his mother as he hung dying on the cross. It seems to me that this is a bit late. Now, he might have already had conversations with John about this previously. We don't know. And maybe he was just restating them now so that we could all hear it. but it makes me cringe. I've seen too many, way too many times when people die and have not prepared to die. Loved ones left with so much to decide and do, and often there's so much bickering, etc., which follows all the stress that comes from this. And so please, please, plan. I know it's hard to think about and it's unpleasant, but your loved ones need you to think ahead. Statistically, 51% of Canadians do not have a will. If you are 18 years or older, you need a will. You also need to have a personal directive or a living will, so that if you are severely injured, etc., someone has the power to make the decisions on your behalf, or based on your wishes. Life is full of unexpected accidents, and so we have to be prepared in advance for all of this kind of stuff. If you have questions about it, talk to me or talk to your lawyer. Please, it's important. And it is a way that we honor our loved ones and we allow them to honor us. Jesus showed clear affection and concern for his beloved mother as he was dying. Some of us don't get that chance. So please prepare. Okay, end of rabbit trail. Back to what we're talking about. Jesus was not alone on the cross. The journey he was on for our forgiveness and salvation was a journey that only he could be on, but he wasn't alone. Jesus, as the Son of God, is never alone. We've talked about that. And we've talked about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living in community and giving us the example of how to live in community. And as he was dying, his beloved earthly community surrounded him too. All his earthly life was wrapped up in what was happening to him on the cross. He died because of affection for all people, caring for all, concern for all, love for all. But his death brought an entirely new depth and understanding to the word affection, to the word love, because he loved us so much. He died not because he spoke words. He died not because he taught truth. He died because his life and his death validated, verified, and vindicated his words and his deeds and affection for all people. Jesus' affection, love, and concern went beyond his mother and his friends. His affection and love was for all of us. It went beyond himself. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loved the whole world so much that Jesus died for our sins and the sins of all. And so our response to all of this needs to be affection and caring for all. Because Jesus' affection and caring doesn't end at the cross and doesn't end at his death or resurrection. It keeps going, even today. My dad regales the following stories from one of our former missionaries to India. And he says, he went one day into a chapel to pray. This chapel was an out-of-doors place of meditation and prayer. And at the front was a small wooden cross hanging on thin wires. And behind the cross, there was no wall. I am used, the missionary said, to thick walls behind the cross. But as I looked at this cross, I could see everything beyond. There were people and cattle roaming about as they do in India, and the smell came right into the chapel. And all I saw was people, poverty, and need. And I said to myself, how can I pray in this place? And as if in reply to my unspoken questions, I heard a voice behind me which said, "We want you to pray with your eyes wide open. That's what we do in this place." Our response to Jesus' affection and caring needs to be that kind of response. And so as we stand before the cross today, we have to look past it and see the world. Messy, broken, hurting, full of pain, full of sorrow. Let's pray with our eyes wide open to the needs of our neighborhoods and our cities and our world. Let's let the things that break the heart of God reach deep within our hearts. Sometimes it's too easy to watch media reports about the needs of our world and then turn off our minds and go to sleep. But we shouldn't. We can't. There is so much need, it feels overwhelming, doesn't it? War, unrest in Eastern Europe, in Africa, in Asia, social injustice issues like sex trafficking and slavery and persecution and demonstrations. People need to know about the love of God, His forgiveness and salvation, and we need to tell them, and we need to pray for them. Jesus died for all people. God loves all people. And may the Holy Spirit move within us, helping us to be God's hands and feet, reaching out to a world that so desperately longs to know about Jesus' forgiveness that leads to salvation because of love. May the nails that pierce the hands and feet of Jesus spur us to be His hands and His feet, right where we live. May His suffering and His scars remind us of His love. And may our response always be to love others as He loved us. Let's pray. So, Father God, we pray. We thank You for the gift of salvation on the cross. And we pray that it may move us to be the people that You want us to be. Your hands and feet, affection and caring to the world around us. Give us courage, give us strength, give us wisdom and discernment as we follow You into this hurting world. Amen. As Jesus hung on the cross, He felt so many emotions. He saw so much and experienced a lot of pain. Yet He also lived into all His emotions. He placed the woman He dearly loved, His mother, into the care of His best friend. And He let the affection and love He felt for them carry over into the affection and love He has for all of us. And He lived into the pain that comes from deep, deep affection. Many of us tend to shy away from the pain that comes from our caring or loving too much. We don't want our hearts to be broken, as Jesus' heart was, and as God's heart is. And when we turn away from the affection and love, as well as the pain, a little of the light of the world goes out. Amen.